teranga marie orangi nui e tui honei o papa tuanu kue takatonei o te taia e afinei ia tātou tihei mauri ora. This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
Yes, you're tuned into 95 BFM. On the wire, up next, as the sting suggests, it's the Green Desk. Apologies to the person who called. We were just a little bit pressed for time. If you call back in a second, we hopefully will be able to pick it up. However, this week for Green Desk, the self-labeled and fan-labeled, I believe, Mangrove Mitch talks to again founder Nada Piatek, or Piontek, about the new initiative bringing reusable steel cups as a waste minimization tool for our coffee addiction. Mitch and Nada discuss the dangers of compostable cups, business positivity, as well as some of the places that these cups can be found as of today. Mitch begins by asking Nada about the predominantly linear system Aotearoa possesses and what that currently means for our country and our landfills.
So the best estimate that we have is a number that the Packaging Forum came to the conclusion of, I guess, a year or so ago now. 295 million single-use cups reach the landfill each year. That covers both the coffee industry but also things like shakes and cold drinks. So it's an enormous problem. The use of all materials in a take-make-waste pattern is worrying at best, and we're looking for a solution that creates a circular economy. And so by designing the single-use items out altogether, we actually address the problem at source rather than trying to find a way to get those materials back into the system.
And I find that with a lot of the ones that are coming out now, ease people's consciences about it, they're all coming out with compostable cups, and I know there's a lot of dangers around that. What is the sort of situation there with those cups?
So back in the day, paper cups had petroleum plastic lining in them, and that is where the root of the problem is. That plastic lining doesn't break down. Compostable cups replace that plastic lining with a plant plastic alternative that breaks down a little bit better than petroleum-based plastics. We really support anything that works towards waste minimisation, and there's definitely a place for compostable materials. The problem in a public and day-to-day context is that there really is a pretty tricky route for that compostable item to get to a facility that can actually process it. So increasingly we're seeing collection points pop up in cafes that are really signed on and trying to do the right thing. But by definition, a takeaway coffee is taken away. And so finding its way back to that collection point is tricky. And that's why actually taking the single-use item out of the equation and replacing it with a vessel that continues to be used solves that problem perhaps more comprehensively. A bit of data came out of the UK a year and a half ago now. A parliamentary paper was presented in 2017 showing that one in 400 coffee cups actually made it back to a facility that could process it. Now, that's in the UK where there's a lot more infrastructure around composting, and it was a couple of years ago, so I'm confident that things are a little bit better than that. But a 0.25% solution of the problem isn't a solution.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So I don't want to discourage people using compostable if they're in an environment where they can get it to a compost facility. So an event is a really good example of that, because if you're at an event and the event has created an infrastructure that gets it to the compost facility, then bingo, you're winning. But on a day-to-day basis, when you get your coffee at a coffee shop and you take it back to the office and put that coffee cup into a waste stream, it's not getting there unless you have access to a composting waste stream. That isn't a solution.
Yeah, turning to the initiative now, what is it that you guys are proposing? Like, what is this service?
Again, as a cups as a service system, we provide a fleet of stainless steel cups and silicon lids at the cafes. They're ready and waiting for you and clean when you go to order your coffee. You pay a $3 deposit to borrow a cup, take it away and enjoy it. And then at some point in the future, when that cup makes it back to any of the cafes that are on our network, then you'll get your $3 fully refunded. So it's a deposit return scheme. And the problem is solved by a cup. But if the cup alone was the solution, we wouldn't have a problem. You know, cups have been around for a while now. But again, provides a solution to the need for convenience and leverages the network effect to make that even more convenient. You can pick it up at one coffee shop and a couple of days later take it back to another.
With the silicon lids, what is the sort of circularity in that aspect? Are they what's their sort of lifespan? Because I'm under the impression that they can't actually be recycled.
They can't be recycled. The silicon lid is absolutely the weakest part of the system. However, we see time and time again that people choose their convenience over doing the right thing. And so we were left with really choosing the best of the evil options that are there.
Yep.
And the options were silicon or plastic, or dropping down the waste hierarchy and going back to compostable. We have chosen not to go with compostable because we're really trying to empower a behaviour change in our community and work in a reuse environment rather than a compostable environment. And having to choose between plastic and silicon, polypropylene, number 5 plastic, is academically recyclable, but the reality is that only 9 to 13% of it gets recycled intentionally. So while it can be recycled, actually we're stockpiling that number 5 plastic and don't have the capacity to recycle it. Silicon is very academically recyclable, but it's so expensive and it downgrades so much that it really isn't reasonable to consider that it's recyclable. So we were choosing between academically recyclable, but it doesn't happen, and not recyclable, which really are essentially equal. We chose silicon because silicon is far more malleable, which means it creates a much better seal on the cup, and by doing so it keeps the whole system, the metal of the cups, in circulation for longer, and it's a much better user experience. It's also a pretty robust material. You can drive over it and then pick it up and give it a wash and it's good to go again, whereas plastic breaks. I'm not going to tell you that it's a perfect solution. It's absolutely not. What we are suggesting is that the overall system takes all of that single use, both material but also behaviour, out of the equation.
You guys have run a little pilot and you've got people signing up. Where can people actually begin this sort of service? Like, where can they go to start off?
We thought we were running a little pilot too. Turns out that there's a real want for this, and so we've actually signed up about 35 cafes. We've got a real hub down in the Britomart precinct. We've also got City Works Depot, a number of cafes in Ponsonby Central, and then a number of independent cafes through the centre of the city. Wynyard Quarter, Greyland, Ponsonby.
So when they sign up to this, is it sort of as well as situation, or are they saying, hey, we've got these steel cups now, we're not going to have our pretty much single-use disposable cups anymore?
So for most cafes, that's a pretty tricky business decision to make, to get rid of single-use cups altogether. We have a hero cafe in Wellington that has done that, and in an absolutely amazing leadership move, Auckland Zoo have made the commitment to get rid of single-use cups altogether. Auckland Zoo sends to landfill 150,000 cups a year. And by bringing in the again system, none of them are going there. So that's a really huge win for our environment. But it's actually also a really huge win for them on a business level. They're saving a lot of money to do it. And it forces the coffee drinker to be engaged in that equation, but they are making sure that they have the infrastructure in place to be able to give those refunds out as people leave the zoo.
I've noticed that you guys are technically 120% positive in terms of emissions.
Carbon emissions.
Yeah. So how does a business sort of need to be, maybe not created, but focused in order to achieve that kind of positivity? Like, how can other businesses move into that realm?
Well, for us, the ethics are all tied together. So whether it's waste reduction or carbon emissions, it sits right at the core of what we do. And that means that it's in the conversation in all of our planning. To give you an example of that, outside of cups, I'm based down in Wellington. I'm coming up for the launch when we bring the system to the Auckland market.
Yeah.
And actually, that involves carbon. That involves me flying. And mm-hmm. we felt that it was something that we wanted to do the best we could around. And so actually what I've come up with is that I'm taking the overnight bus up to Auckland on the Saturday night instead of flying. So that's all about carbon emissions, and that's about having the conversation about carbon emissions in every conversation that every decision that we're making. I would caveat though to say that I'm having to fly home again because actually I don't have the time to be able to take the overnight bus again. I have a family down here. I'm juggling the business and my family, and it's not a reasonable time responsibility, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you don't want it to negatively impact your well-being. Yeah, there is an extent. I really appreciate that. It's cool.
So in that equation, we've made the decision to do what we can, which is to take the overnight bus on the weekend. But when we're flying back, then that's when we go to offsetting.
Yeah.
The net will still be net 120%, but the first move actually is to just stop creating the carbon in the first place.
Epic. And so is that where ECOS comes in? Is that? Can you talk a bit about ECOS and what ECOS is?
ECOS is an amazing, they're actually a charity. Sean Weaver is the CEO there, and he's incredibly committed to the protection of native forest in New Zealand and the South Pacific. And so the carbon offset, the carbon credits that he is creating, they sit outside of the compulsory segment, so they're in the voluntary portion of the carbon credits market. And they are protecting native forests from being cut down for farming, essentially. And so he works with the landowners to actively stop the development work that is otherwise in the pipeline in order to protect the credits, create the farmers, therefore create a revenue stream for the landowners such that they can say, okay, we won't touch it, we'll leave it as it is.
I don't know if these projections have been made, but say you've got your 35 stores coming out. Have you guys predicted how many sort of disposable cups will be like stop reaching the landfill?
Yep. So we are bringing the system to the Auckland market as the next step for us. We already have 55 cafes in the Wellington region who have been working with Again Again now since the start of the year. With those 55 cafes, our data is all based on estimates because we don't oblige the cafes to measure and give us data. We've made it as easy as we can for the cafes.
Yep.
But at the end of our pilot period, we reached 23% uptake in the 14 cafes that we worked with. If we drop that down a bit conservatively, let's say to 20%, and we've got a little bit of data to support that 20% level, then already in Wellington we are displacing an estimated 30,000 cups per month. Once we bring, it's all about scale and systematic approach. So the individual action of not taking a single use cup doesn't feel very big, but once you throw it out to a whole lot of cafes, then actually that impact starts to build up really quickly. Once we bring the 35 cafes in the Auckland region up to 20%, if we can do that as well, and I'm confident that we can, and then we add into that the 100% cafes like the five at the zoo and the one that we've got here in Wellington, then we're starting to get into the realms of 50,000 cups per month. And, you know, all of a sudden we are collectively making an impact.
That's pretty significant, yeah. Do you want to add anything else?
I guess I want to say that there are a couple of things that we need. The first is that none of this works without the individual action. So individual actions on their own are great, but if it's not systemic, then the impact is difficult to scale. Now that we've created a system, actually we still need those individual actions. We need people to choose to do the right thing within our system. And so I guess that's an invitation to everyone to get out there. And if you have forgotten your personal reusable cup, to make the effort to use one of ours in place of that. And then the second thing is that it's not perfect. There are some sustainability issues around the silicon in the paper, which can be pulled apart. There is our data, which can definitely be pulled apart because we haven't got, it's not robust, we haven't got enough of it to be able to stand up in front of a panel of scientists and defend it. And we understand those things. We understand that it's not perfect, but we, being courageous to stand up and put ourselves out there to actually make a difference. And so we want to hear everybody's critique, but we really want to, I guess we want to ask to be given the opportunity to be courageous and to create a different way of doing things.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Ora.